The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is my week in Indy, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But before we get started here on this kind of crazy podcast today, I do want to just say, hey, guys, I am so stoked that I'm hearing these amazing stories from you out there that are doing really well. I know that there might be a few kind of discouraged, and not only because of COVID and all the other things related to that, but I know that it can be a little frustrating, but recommending hang in there. I think that's the name of this game. If you sell off and, you know, get out, and I mean, everybody I've talked to that's done that has regretted it. And I think it's a matter of being able to stick it out and be able to learn from your mistakes. And I'm going to share a few of them today here. But also, you know, I think there's something to be said for persistence in this particular business. So here's a tip of the week that might help those that are looking, you know, maybe for some new ideas here. I know one of the things that I recommend as highly as I can is to find off-market properties. If you can find off-market properties, you have a good chance of getting a good deal. And if you can get a good deal, you've built in sort of an inflation beater that will hopefully give you a little bit of extra cushion there should prices drop dramatically. You know, my goal used to be 20% under market. I think that's kind of hard today, but I still think you can get under market prices for things. So how do you find these off-market deals? This is my tip of the week. Actually, there are 10 things that 10 sources for a good deal, and probably ranked in order of importance here. Number one, brokers. If you build a rapport with a broker and you can find commonality, you can connect, and you can get those precious sort of off-market pocket listings that brokers have. Same goes for agents as well. They can bring you those properties that nobody else has seen yet and might give you an opportunity to get a good deal there. Direct mail. If you can stick with it, it's a powerful, powerful way to be able to find those properties. And you zero in, you get the factors that you need for direct mail, and then just zero in. You know, for example, out-of-state owners, properties older than, you know, 10 years or whatever criteria is. That's an effective way. Of course, the internet, you can find things not only through places like LoopNet and others that a lot of people see as sort of the graveyard for properties nobody can sell, but you can find folks selling, and there are a lot of different, especially if you get into some of these Facebook groups that have multifamily investors in it who might be selling a property. A lot of times they try to sell it direct as opposed to having to get involved with agents and brokers and so forth. So that's a good source. A housing court, you can divorce cases are a commonplace, especially for single family homes. Management companies, they know, what properties are doing well and aren't doing well, and they can be a great source of referrals. Driving for dollars, looking for homes that and properties that have deferred maintenance, that maybe stand out in a neighborhood that's not so bad. That's the ideal situation, is finding that C property in a B area. Classifieds, well, I don't know much about classifieds today because most of the newspapers are online, if they're still around. But that is things like Craigslist would probably fall into that category. The Board of Health has violators, people that are getting repeated problems and are maybe just ready to get rid of that property. Even condemned property lists, if you're somebody who's serious about construction and doing some heavy rehab, that could be. Also, just out-of-state owners, just looking at properties, looking up to the county assessor's office and finding out who those owners are. You can also buy lists of out-of-state owners too. So there's 10 different sources to find those precious diamond in the rough off-market deals. Well, let's jump into our topic. My week in Indy, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, I just spent a week in Indianapolis, and we've got this YouTube channel, and I really haven't even used it for anything live. I mean, you can still go there, and there's a banner, and some of you are probably listening to it right now through there. There's a number of subscribers, but I really haven't done any visual stuff yet, and I really meant to do it on this one, but didn't quite get to jump into it. Kind of wish I did, kind of wish I didn't. But anyway, this is one of those things that we as out-of-state investors should do on a regular basis, and that is to visit your properties. My recommendation would be, when you first buy, probably, every month, breaking it into maybe once a quarter. And depending on the property, depending on your confidence on your team and the people in place there, then maybe breaking it out to once every 6 months or maybe once a year. But I think you should get out more often, because a lot can happen to a property and even a neighborhood. And that's so those are some of the key things. And why do you do this? Well, some of the key things are just touching base with your local team. You should have a great team in place, consisting of property manager, attorney, broker, agents, contractors, and other folks that may be a part of you getting plugged into that community. I also recommend not letting people know that you're coming. I think that's a wise thing to do, to show up at the property and to see how it really is. My trip that I took this last week, well, I let them know in advance because I needed some work. I need some things in my hand, some paperwork and some financials that I knew they needed time to prepare for. So when I got there, of course, the property looked great. The grass was trimmed perfectly. The bushes were trimmed. Everything looked great. But that's kind of expected. So nonetheless, it gives you an opportunity to inspect the property, walk around, maybe even go into some of the units. If you can be nonchalant, I would say connecting with tenants. I don't advise that you let people know that you're the owner if you can avoid that, because I think that's why we have LLCs and so forth, is to protect our personal assets from our holdings. And so, those are some of the reasons. I also, would recommend too that you have an agenda. You know exactly what you're going to do. I was there for a week, and I had a number of things I had to address, and I'll kind of go over those with you. But it's a good idea to have an agenda, even hour by hour, book appointments in advance as best you can. And again, that might be a little tough if you don't want people to know you're going to be there. But, it could be with people unrelated to your team. But I've had a number of different things happen. My house mom, who was wonderful, did a great job, unfortunately has taken ill. She has a number of different ailments right now that have really prevented her from being able to do any kind of physical or, even social contact. And so I felt really, really bad for her. I just wanted to, I couldn't even visit her because she's very sensitive. Her autoimmune system is down. She's afraid of COVID and other things that could really just devastate her. So anyway, I was there to kind of encourage her a bit, even though I had to send her a card through the door and that kind of stuff. But also looking for people that might be able to replace her, trying to coordinate with local contractors and others that I need to work with as well. We also had in Indianapolis a COVID-19 eviction moratorium like all around the country, and it just came off. So we had three tenants that we had to deal with that are, kind of tough situations. One has emotional issues. As you may know, I do a lot of agency work. I work with organizations. We can sometimes take in people who are maybe, physically challenged, maybe mental issues, but nothing usually severe. Usually these are people that can survive on their own, but sometimes you get people that really can't do well on their own. And occasionally we get those. One of those is a lady who just screams in the middle of the night and has scared a lot of our tenants and Airbnb people. And she really isn't quite ready to be on her own. There's another unit. We pretty much got some drug dealers there. We've had heroin overdoses twice, at least that I know of, at that particular place. There was a lot of traffic, and my property manager really put the squeeze on them to cut down the traffic, but there's still an issue, and there's still ones that are screaming in the middle of the night too. And the third is interesting. We had a tenant leave, and a squatter took over this guy's place. I don't know if he gave her the key. I don't know what happened, but she basically, planted her feet in and said, "I'm staying." And we've talked to her. We said, "You're not on the lease. You need to leave." And she knows we can't evict, or we couldn't evict. Now we can evict, and we have filed against her. But she has been really bad news, just disrupting tenants. Her occupation is one that she needs to solicit, and so she has solicited numerous of our Airbnb guests, some of our other tenants. She'll get in fights with people. I mean, just really bad news. So I came to make sure that filing was going to go and that we got moving forward with that. I also had related meetings too with my attorney and broker and property manager regarding the situation, and we really had to come up with some strategies as sort of what are the best ways that we can handle these situations. For example, the one that's dealing drugs is a Section 8 client. I've talked to the police. The police can't do anything unless it's a sizable quantity. I mean, it's in, and they've got to catch them in the act. And I've sent them all kinds of video footage. As you know, those that have listened, we have a full 14 cameras on this property. And so I got people handing, cash through a window in the parking lot and handing a bag back. And it's still not enough to get these guys to move. So what we did is we ended up just leveraging the fact that they were on Section 8 to tell them that, hey, if we evict you, we file an eviction, you're going to lose your Section 8 forever. You'll never get it back. And that fact alone has made them motivated to want to get out. And we said, if you're not out by this date, then we are going to file and there's no going back. So we're kind of using that as a means to be able to get them out, and with minimum, without having to deal with this huge backlog of eviction cases in the courts here. So I'm in Indiana, so it may take a while if we go through the courts. Also, the legal expenses are up there as well. Also, other kind of issue is the Airbnb. Our Airbnb has proven to be very lucrative, and sometimes we can get, almost three times the rent we would normally get for one unit renting out on a daily basis. So it has been really good, but we got hit. And a couple of things. One, there is a kind of a common scam that's going around outside, where people are coming in and they're staying in your place a week, and in a little baggie they'll carry a little cockroach or a bed bug, and they'll show it to you or take a picture of it for Airbnb, and they've had a free week stay. It's really, really tough, and I'm looking at ways we can overcome that. We have very aggressive inspections, between clients. We spray between clients. We are doing everything to alleviate any possibility of it. And so I thought, well, I'm going to stay in the worst unit that they have. And in that unit, I'm going to see if I see any bugs while I'm there. And also I want to see about other things they would throw in. Oh, this wall was dirty, or this wasn't painted properly. I mean, just all kinds of stupid stuff. So I brought my tools, and that's always a problem whenever Bill brings his tools out, because it always means that some contractor is going to make twice as much. But anyway, I met with my team here that's handling Airbnb, and in that was my cleaning team especially. We increased our cleaning sterilization process. We also wanted to beef up our operations, getting as a standard fare, a nice little gift basket for people when they arrive with some snacks and drinks, so that, maybe after a long flight or a long trip, that they have something to eat. They don't have to immediately run out and grab something. So those just little things like that, little amenities we were dealing with. Also, people would complain about the smell of smoke. Even though we're no smoking building, there are tenants that are violating that process, so I'm trying to deal with them. Also, in these units, the Airbnb units, people would be smoking, and we'd have to deal with that too. The other sort of, there are little things, redoing bathroom tile, cleaning, getting nice curtains up, new blinds, things like that. And, one of the big problems is the area, and we are dealing with sort of an increase in folks that are out. One of the things that happened with COVID is a lot of the folks that had substance abuse problems would stay in these big, almost like a little mini prison, as a place to go for a period of time. And then they would hold them, try to rehab them, and deal with those issues. But that place totally closed down. So all these people were released out on the street. They're in our neighborhood, and there's not a lot I can do about it. I am talking to the cops. I'm trying to make friends with the cops. I think that can help if they can come by and periodically even park in our parking lot. I've dealt with the idea of having a little room where we have an extra little room down in our basement. We could put a coffee pot and a table and maybe even a cot, that if these guys want to come in and, in between shifts and, take a break and fill out reports or whatever, we'd have everything there that they need to do that. So, I'm working on that, trying to get a strategy where we've got cops around, people aren't going to want to hang around our place. So that's kind of the focus of it. Let me see what else I did. We're working on rehab. I got 2 units to rehab. So I met with contractors. I talked about security and met with folks that could handle that, and maybe hiring an outside firm. I found one that where they have off-duty policemen that'll actually be able to take their police car there and to park there, and you just have to pay them by the hour, and it's not cheap, but that kind of a presence I think would help in this situation. It looks like we're going to be getting the tenants out. We're not going to have to deal with that, but it may take a while for the one that has to go through the court. I think the other two, we pretty well, made it attractive for them to leave early. And some people do, actually payouts to get people out. So we didn't have to do that, but we have that as sort of a backup if we have to, because we're losing tenants and getting bad ratings on our Airbnb and losing Airbnb clients as well. So we're pretty serious about this. Well, the one thing that about this is that, it's funny. I was talking about that YouTube video, and I was thinking that I would entitle it, "Welcome to the World of Passive Rental Income," showing me at 6 a.m. pushing a cart through Walmart or Home Depot, or scraping, you know, the bathroom tile, or cleaning out, you know, sewage pipes. Passive income. You got to love it, right? Okay. Anyway, so most of my properties are kind of boring, but this one just never ceases to entertain and educate me. I think I've learned more about landlording with this one 22-unit apartment than I have all of my other properties combined. So what did I learn? You know, well, you know, I made some mistakes, I think. I picked an area that I thought was in the path of progress, because you have this Irvington area, which is kind of expanding out, and it's a kind of a hip, cool, great area. And then you got all this good stuff happening downtown. And I'm kind of like situated in between the two. And I saw this as being a good opportunity. But, you know, what do you do when your path of progress takes a turn for the worse and detours, right? So you have to work with what you have. I could sell, but I wouldn't get as, you know, what I would want to get. I'm sticking it out. And I know that there are things that are being done. And I think with, you know, COVID dying down and so forth, the we might have some help from the city and the local police department that'll help kind of get things back to where they should be. So also, you know, it's hard to find property managers in an area like this, especially when you've got that kind of crime and other issues going on around there. So that does make it difficult is finding that good property management team. I think one of the big mistakes I made on this property, it was an older property. It was my first, you know, small multi. But anyway, it took a lot more money to get it up to par than I anticipated. I had set aside, you know, what I thought was a healthy amount, but you know, when you get into it and you get the property and you really dig in, you start realizing, oh my goodness, you know, I could replace the entire plumbing in this place if I could, because it needs it. And so I'm doing a lot of still spot repairs and things of that nature. Also got a bad loan because it was my first commercial property. So it wasn't, I mean, there were some, you know, some pretty high costs for the loan itself and points and so forth, and it's still at a high interest rate. So I'm trying to refinance, and that's difficult when you've got, you know, vacancy issues. So I've kind of learned a lot here, and I'd be happy to talk to any of you guys that, you know, are interested in some of the things. You know, we did do some good stuff too. We converted the electricity to 220 and upgraded to, you know, making it all electric, which is great, because that's an expense that the tenant assumes. We did do some real nice rehab work and made it look nice, and almost, you know, from that period, it was built in 1925. So, you know, kind of that same kind of look inside. We were able to increase rents significantly too. And our rents are higher than most in the area because, one, I've got a good mix of agency housing, as I'd mentioned. Working with the agencies are great. Section 8's not so great, but there are a lot of other agencies that we can help people that, you know, that may be fully functioning autistic, or maybe somebody that has some sort of an injury that needs to, you know, a place to recoup. So there are a lot of different types of agencies out there you can find out about too. The Airbnb, as I mentioned, is kicking it. I want to add another unit, but I do want to overcome some of these issues, because you get hit with some bad reviews and then boom, you know, you're going to lose your sort of coveted super host. The house mom thing worked out good, but again, I can anticipate that our house mom would get sick. And so, you know, we miss her, and hope to maybe find a replacement if we can, because we do have some apartment availabilities and after the rehab, so we might be able to find somebody to step into that role. You know, I can't change the neighborhood, but, you know, I certainly, I'll tell you, I pray over the neighborhood, and I pray over that building all the time. And I know God can, but you know, we're making contacts, we're working, networking with other people here, other people in Indy. I still think I'm there. It's nice because there are opportunities. There are people that do want to change. The residential neighborhood, you know, these are people that have been around for 30, 40 years in the same house. And, you know, it's the apartments that are bringing in the people that are a problem for the neighborhood. So, initially I was thinking about, you know, just buying the prop, you know, the apartments in the neighborhood, but they're all pretty high risk. And this one is definitely a high risk. Yeah, it's got high returns, but high risk. And that's what happened when you get into that C minus category. I met with my broker in the area, a guy named Corey, who is just a great guy and a good broker. If you're looking for a good broker out in the Indianapolis area, and Kimberly, who is actually going to be a guest on my show and has been a longtime listener of the Old Dogs podcast. They're both friends, and I was able to meet with them in this really cool restaurant, and that was a blast too. So there were some good things, fun things too, besides the hard work. But hey, that's all part of the fun of real estate investing, right? All right. Well, that is it for today, guys. I hope that was helpful for you. Please note everything I mentioned here is recapped in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled My Week in Indy, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.